Did you ever see Star Trek IV when Kirk and the rest of the crew swoop down to protect a pair of humpback whales being hunted on Earth?
All right, Scotty, it's up to you.
10 seconds, Admiral.
Yeah, the whales got beamed up. Don't remember? Well, it's an old movie from the 80s. I can't believe I said old. Anyway, the film reminded us that whale hunting still goes on in some parts of the world. Japan, for instance. They argue it's part of their culture. Today, in fact, Japan announced it plans to withdraw from the International Whaling Commission. They're the ones that regulate global whaling. So I was a little surprised today when I spoke with Paul Watson, founder of the marine conservation group Sea Shepherd, and he said this about Japan's announcement.
I think it's a positive development, and it means that Japan is openly saying that they're going, that they're commercially whaling when they've been doing that all along under the guise of research whaling. But by openly saying this, they can no longer kill whales in the Southern Ocean Whale Sanctuary, so that's a victory for us.
I mean, that is a somewhat surprising answer coming from you. Are you essentially saying that by backing out of the International Whaling Commission, Japan is basically going to be more transparent about what it's doing?
Well, Japan has now declared that they're going to be commercially whaling, which is what they've been doing, but denying all along. So, yes, that makes it a lot easier for us to oppose them, because even though the International Court of Justice ruled against Japan's fraudulent research whaling, they continue to do it anyway.
Remind us what nations still hunt whales, and what will Japan's decision to withdraw from the International Whaling Commission mean to those countries? Will it push them to abandon treaties as well?
Iceland and Norway have been blatantly killing whales for commercial purposes, despite the IWC. So Japan will just simply be joining their ranks without this bogus justification of research whaling. So it puts them in the same category. But what it will mean for the International Whaling Commission is that it will no longer be stymied by the boats that the Japanese continue to buy every year to block every conservation effort. So at the meeting of the IWC in Brazil just recently this year, the IWC said, no, we're not going to entertain the idea of commercial whaling anymore. And that's why Japan is looking at getting out of the IWC and just going ahead and doing what Iceland and Norway are doing.
What does this decision actually mean for the number of whales killed into the future? And what's it going to mean for conservation efforts? It sounds like it could be kind of unpredictable.
Well, it's going to be great for the Southern Ocean Whale Sanctuary and the South Atlantic Whale Sanctuary and the entire Southern Hemisphere. No whales will be killed in the Southern Hemisphere. They will intend to kill whales in their own waters, like Norway and Iceland do right now. And, of course, we will oppose that. But this development is really good from the point of view of whale conservation.
What does Japan do with whale flesh these days? I mean, is it eaten? Is it used for energy, like oil?
Well, we got thousands of tons of it stockpiled in their refrigerated warehouses, which isn't used. It's a highly subsidized industry. It carries on primarily for political reasons. The fact that the Prime Minister Abe is from a whaling district, and that the union that supplies the crew are a Yakuza union, which puts a lot of pressure on the government, and the fact that
Yakuza is kind of a Japanese underground. Some people have called it a mafia.
It is a Japanese mafia, yes. And they control the union, which supplies the sailors. And the other thing is that the board members of the whaling company, which is a government-owned company, are retired politicians who get significant salaries for the continuation of whaling. It doesn't benefit the Japanese people. Less than 1% of the Japanese people eat whale meat, so it's hardly an ongoing venture.
I mean, I was in Japan shortly after the earthquake and tsunami in 2011. One town, Ishinomaki, really depended upon the whaling industry. I mean, economically, what does it mean for Japan?
Well, it's absolutely insignificant economically. And if it disappears from tomorrow, it'll be great. I mean, what people don't understand is that whales are a very important part of our global ecological aquatic system. They provide the nutrients to the phytoplankton. The phytoplankton provides the oxygen that we breathe. When you diminish whale populations, you diminish phytoplankton populations. And since 1950, there's been a 40% diminishment in phytoplankton populations. The whales belong to all of us, not to the Japanese or the Norwegians or the Iceland. So they should be left alone to do what they do best, which is to as caretakers of the sea.
Captain Watson, I'm curious to know how close your organization, Sea Shepherd, has gotten to any outright conflict with some of those Japanese surveillance ships.
Well, we've been in confrontations with them for years. Pretty aggressive clashes, and that's how we were able to stop them from killing whales on many occasions. In fact, in one year, they only took 10% of their quota, but most years, only 30% of their quota, because our method is to get behind them to prevent them to load whales onto the factory ship, and it's a highly effective method. And, of course, that resulted in numerous court cases against us and some high seas confrontations and water cannon fights and stink bombs and on and on and on. But what's happened is that in order to stop our opposition in 2017, they put in about $50 million worth of security efforts using real-time military surveillance to keep us from approaching them. And that's an expensive thing. They just can't keep it up.
Captain Paul Watson, the founder of Sea Shepherd, the whale conservation organization, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.